And take your Bibles again and turn with me to 1 Corinthians chapter 11. 1 Corinthians chapter 11, we'll be reading verses 23 through 34, but our focus will mostly be on verses 27 through 34. First Corinthians 11, beginning in verse 23, again, let's give our careful hearing to the Word of God. For I received from the Lord what I also delivered to you, that the Lord Jesus, on the night when he was betrayed, took bread. And when he had given thanks, he broke it and said, "This is my body, which is for you. Do this in remembrance of me." In the same way also he took the cup after the supper, saying, "This cup is the new covenant in my blood. As often as you drink it, do this as often as you drink it in remembrance of me. For as often as you eat this bread and drink the cup, you proclaim the Lord's death until he comes. Whoever therefore eats the bread or drinks the cup of the Lord in an unworthy manner will be guilty concerning the body and blood of the Lord. Let a person examine himself then, and so eat of the bread and drink of the cup. For anyone who eats and drinks without discerning the body eats and drinks judgment on himself. That is why many of you are weak and ill, and some have died. But if we judged ourselves truly, we would not be judged. But when we are judged by the Lord, we are disciplined, so that we may not be condemned along with the world. So then, my brothers, when you come together to eat, wait for one another. If anyone is hungry, let him eat at home, so that when you come together, it will not be for judgment. About the other things, I will give directions when I come. Let's pray briefly. Father in heaven, we call upon you again, asking for your abundant blessing on the preaching and hearing of the word. Lord, we are relying fully upon Christ and his Spirit to make this a powerful means to strengthen us, to point us to Jesus Christ, to conform us into his image. And so we place our trust in you and pray that the glory would be to Christ alone. We pray in his name. Amen. Well, our subject this evening is worthy partaking of the Lord's Supper. Well, as was emphasized this morning, there is no such thing as a worthy partaker. No one is ever worthy to come to the Lord's table. We come only in and through Christ, trusting in his work. But as we read, Scripture does command us to come in a worthy manner. And that means that we should be concerned with the question that the Catechism puts before us in question 97. Which asks, what is required to the worthy receiving of the Lord's Supper? In other words, what does it mean to come in a worthy manner? What is involved in worthy receiving or worthy partaking of this sacrament? As we just read, the Lord warns us of the danger of coming to his supper carelessly, coming in an unworthy manner. In 1 Corinthians 11, verses 27 and 29, we read this: "Whoever therefore eats the bread or drinks the cup of the Lord in an unworthy manner will be guilty of profaning the body and blood of the Lord." And then in verse 29, Paul says, "For anyone who eats and drinks without discerning the body eats and drinks judgment on himself." And notice that there are two dangers listed there. He says if we come unworthily, we first of all profane the sacrifice of Christ. In other words, we treat the cross as though it was worthless. And so on the one hand, coming unworthily dishonors the Lord. While on the other hand, we are warned that it invites God's judgment. And Paul goes on to tell the Corinthians that many of them were weak and ill, and some had died because they were coming in an unworthy manner. And this danger is as real now as it was then. There is a great risk in coming carelessly to the Lord's table. And I think this is an especially relevant warning for us as 21st century Christians. Because as the pace of life continues to increase and we find ourselves busier and busier in our daily lives, it becomes harder to really make that time to examine our hearts and prepare to come to the Lord's table. I think if we were honest, many of us would have to admit that we really don't put much time into preparing for the Lord's table. It's easy for the week to get away from us, for us to get caught up in the daily activities of life. And before we know it, the Lord's Supper is upon us, and we haven't prepared accordingly. So look at your outline on the back of your green bulletin, and look at that question and answer 97 of the Westminster Shorter Catechism. This question asks, what is required to the worthy receiving of the Lord's Supper? And the answer, it is required of them that would worthily partake of the Lord's Supper, that they examine themselves of their knowledge to discern the Lord's body, of their faith to feed upon Him, of their repentance, love, and new obedience, lest coming unworthily they eat and drink judgment to themselves. And so we come worthily to the Lord's table when we examine ourselves. And notice that the Catechism lists five things that we are to examine ourselves for. Knowledge to discern the Lord's body, faith to feed upon Him, repentance, love, and new obedience. So these are the things that we look for. And what we need to understand from the outset is that none of these things are human works. They are graces or fruits in us. They are things that God works in us. And when you examine yourself, you are examining yourself for the presence of these graces or fruits. And when you look at yourself, if you are a true believer, you will see that to one degree or another, they are there. These graces are there in your life. And yet, they are not what they should be. They are lacking. They are tainted by sin and unbelief. And so when we examine ourselves for these graces or fruits in preparation to come to the Lord's table, you will very likely feel unworthy to come to the Lord's table. And that is part of the paradox that we face in our preparation for coming to the table. By examining ourselves and getting to that point where we feel unworthy, that then sets us in a posture to come in a worthy manner, because it sets us in a posture that drives us to the Lord Jesus Christ. It drives us to trust in His sacrifice for our sins. And so this evening, we'll just use those five graces or five fruits that the Catechism lists to form our outline for this evening. And so, first of all, we see that we are to examine ourselves for knowledge to discern the Lord's body. Now, this language comes right out of 1 Corinthians 11:29, where Paul writes, "For anyone who eats and drinks without discerning the body eats and drinks judgment on himself." Now, knowledge to discern the Lord's body, that entails having an understanding of the gospel of Jesus Christ. Having an understanding of who Jesus is and what he has done. Understanding that Jesus, as our substitute, obeyed perfectly. That he also paid the penalty for sins. It means understanding that Jesus, the eternal Son of God, became a man. That he became the God-man. And that means that his body was different than any other body. That his death was different than any other death. And so knowledge to discern the Lord's body involves understanding the gospel as it is being communicated in the elements in the Lord's Supper. It involves understanding what the elements of bread and wine point to. Secondly, and related to this, we are to examine ourselves for faith to feed upon Christ. We first of all, when we come to the Lord's table, are to examine ourselves for saving faith. In other words, we should ask ourselves the question, have I savingly trusted in Christ? Do you recognize that the spiritual realities signified in the Lord's Supper are for you? Do you recognize that you need Christ and his sacrifice? And are you trusting in him? 2 Corinthians 13:5 says, "Examine yourselves to see whether you are in the faith. Test yourselves, or do you not realize this about yourselves, that Jesus Christ is in you, unless indeed you fail to meet the test?" And so we are to examine ourselves for saving faith. But it doesn't end there. Because when we then examine ourselves to see if we have faith to approach the Lord's table. In the Lord's Supper, we have physical elements of bread and wine that point to a spiritual reality. The Lord's Supper is called a sign, and a sign points to something beyond itself. A sign points to a reality. And it's the same in the Lord's Supper. It points to that reality of the gospel of Jesus Christ. And so we come to the table and we ask, am I receiving Christ by faith in the Lord's Supper? In other words, do you recognize your continuing need for Christ's body and blood given for you? Do you recognize that Christ is the source of your life and your joy? In John 6:53, Jesus said, "Truly, truly, I say to you, unless you eat the flesh of the Son of Man and drink his blood, you have no life in you." And so we have to have faith to come to the table. And this is what we examine ourselves for. If we come to the table without faith, we get nothing from the sacrament. We will get nothing but a cheap snack. Commenting on the necessity of faith at the table, Thomas Watson writes, "A right participation in the supper is when we receive it in faith. Without faith, we get no good. What is said of the word preached in Hebrews 4:2, it did not profit them, not being mixed with faith, is true of the sacrament. Christ turns stones into bread. Unbelief turns the bread into stones that do not nourish. We partake aright when we come in faith. And so we come to the table in faith, seeking Christ for greater faith. And so we examine ourselves for faith to feed upon Christ. And if you are a true believer, you will see that to some degree that faith is there. But yet it is imperfect and in need of strengthening. And so as we come to the table, our plea to Christ becomes, I believe, Lord, help my unbelief. And related to our faith in Christ, thirdly, is repentance. Repentance is simply turning away from sin. Our trusting in Christ, placing our faith in Him, means that we also forsake sin. And once again, this is a grace. It is a work of God in us. Christ and His Spirit grant us repentance. He enables us to place our trust in Him because we know that we are sinners. And as we contemplate coming to this table that is set before us and seeing those elements of bread and wine, we are vividly reminded that it was our sin that necessitated the death of Christ. As we look at those elements, we should say, it was my sin that caused His body to be broken and His blood to be shed. And that should grieve us. Jesus said that godly sorrow over sin is a mark of His people. In Matthew 5:4, Jesus said, blessed are those who mourn, for they will be comforted. And so when we look at our sin, we feel sorrow, we mourn over it, and we are led to Christ who forgives us and comforts us. And then, out of a heart of love and thankfulness for what the Savior has done, we turn from sin. And the Lord's Supper, one of the reasons it is a means of grace is that it becomes an occasion for us to examine ourselves for sin and then repent of specific sins in our lives. Paul writes in 1 Corinthians 5:7, cleanse out the old leaven, that you may be a new lump, as you really are unleavened. For Christ, our Passover lamb, has been sacrificed. Now, leaven was a metaphor for sin. And so communion, just like the Passover feast, is an occasion for us to identify and repent of specific sins in our life. And like all of these other things, we examine ourselves for repentance. And we see that it is there, but yet it is not what it should be. And so we run to Christ, asking Him to grant us greater repentance from sin. Fourthly, we are to examine ourselves for love. We can ask ourselves a simple question. Do we love God? And once again, this is a grace or a fruit. It's something that God works in us. Love for God shows that we were first loved by Him. And our love for God manifests itself in love for our brothers and our sisters. John writes in 1 John 4:19 and 20. We love because He first loved us. If anyone says, I love God, and hates his brother, he is a liar. For he who does not love his brother whom he has seen, cannot love God whom he has not seen. And so true believers love God and they love their brothers and their sisters. But yet we all know that that love is lacking. We don't love God as we should, nor do we love our brothers and sisters as we should. And so this love is there to some degree, but it is imperfect. It is tainted with sin. And so we come to the Lord's table, looking to Christ to deepen our love for God and to increase our love for our brothers and sisters. Fifthly and finally, we are to examine ourselves for new obedience. And this is related to repentance. We could say it is the other side of repentance. As we turn away from sin, we just don't turn to avoid. When we turn from sin, we are turning to Christ, and we are naturally turning to obedience. But what is new obedience? Why is that adjective new attached to this? Well, because it is a renewal of our commitment to the Lord. It's not the same old pattern. It implies a progression. 1 Corinthians 5:8, and again, remember that leaven was a metaphor for sin. Paul says, "Let us therefore celebrate the festival, not with the old leaven, the leaven of malice and evil, but with the unleavened bread of sincerity and truth." In Romans 6:4, Paul writes, "Therefore, we were buried with him through baptism into death, that just as Christ was raised from the dead by the glory of the Father, even so we also should walk in newness of life." And once again, this new obedience, it's not a human work, but it is a renewal of our commitment to obey the Lord through the power of the Spirit. A new obedience is growth in grace. It's a progression in our Christian walk. And the Lord's Supper is a beautiful means to help us progress. The sacrament symbolizes our union with Christ. It reminds us of what He has done for us and His love for us. And then we then respond in the Spirit and by the grace of God by walking in that newness of life. And friends, this is true biblical revival. It may sound weird for us in a Reformed church to use that word revival, but this is true biblical revival. I mean, think about the ways in which people try to manufacture revival today. Churches hold revival services, emotional events that attempt to supercharge people spiritually. But those sort of things don't work. That sort of man-made revival doesn't bring true revival. But in the Lord's Supper, we have a God-given means to true spiritual revival. A means to strengthen our faith in Christ and to spur us on to this new obedience. And so the Lord's Supper is a wonderful means of grace to us in this way. It drives us to pursue greater faith. It prompts us to our duty of obedience, all the while assuring us that Christ is working in us by His Spirit to sanctify us. And so just as we examine ourselves for repentance, we also examine ourselves for new obedience. We ask ourselves, am I growing in obedience to God's commandments? Am I seeking to conform my life to the Word of God? And like all of these other graces, we will see that that obedience is there. But yet it is not what it should be. And so we run to Christ, confessing our sin and seeking His strength. And so this is what we examine ourselves for. Do you have knowledge to discern the Lord's body? In other words, do you understand what the sacrament symbolizes? Do you understand the gospel? Do you have true faith? Faith that shows itself of being genuine. And are you prepared to approach the table in faith, expecting that Christ will strengthen your faith? And are you repentant? Are you mourning over your sin and turning from it? Do you love God and love others? Are you endeavoring to new obedience? And so these are the things that we examine ourselves for. And again, I want to drive this home again. As we look closely, if you are a true believer, you will see that these marks are there, but yet they are not what they should be. And the natural response to that is to feel very unworthy to come to the table. And J.A. Hodge writes, "We should not be satisfied with the existence of these graces, but seek evidence of their growth. And we should come to the sacrament expecting by it to increase in them." And so in the Lord's Supper, we ultimately seek Christ crucified, who forgives unworthy sinners, who sanctifies us through this means of grace. So we come to the table worthily when we examine ourselves, and then come in humble reliance upon Christ who gave himself for us. Let's pray. Father in heaven, we thank you for the cross of Christ. And Lord, as we prepare to come to your table momentarily, we do have to confess our sin of not preparing as we should, of not engaging in that heartfelt self-examination. But yet, Lord, we know that even our failure in this regard is forgiven by Christ. And so we pray, Lord, that you would help us to search our hearts. And Lord, as we see these graces in us, we are also confronted with their lacking and our sin. So we pray that you would lead us to Christ, that we would be able to look beyond the mere physical symbols to the glorious spiritual realities that are symbolized. And so lead us to Christ by his Spirit this evening, we pray in Christ's name. Amen.